Case 5 of Lucas Echoed. To fame, step 4, teaching his community, said, pick up the whole great verse in your fingers, and it is as big as a grain of rice. Throw it down before you, there, like a lacquer bucket. You don't understand. I will beat the drum to call everyone to look. This is the case. Slowly, step forward, the master, teaching his community, said, pick up the whole great earth in your fingers, and it's as big as a grain of rice. Throw it down before you, there, like a lacquer bucket. You don't understand. I'll beat the drum to call everyone to look. Briefly speaking, step forward, the master said to everyone, pick up the whole great earth in your fingers. Finger doesn't mean just these fingers. Anyway, we have to pick up. Pick up means to do something with. Right now, like that is a pick up beyond time and space. If you pick up something objectively, that is, you pick your behavior you're doing is something to do, something what you do objectively. Okay? Pick up this piece of paper. That is already time there. But pick up the whole great earth in your fingers with your whole body. Anyway, no time, no space. Anyway, you have to pick up. Pick up means you have to live in the universe right now, right here. So, universe must be alive with you in your life. That is next. How the universe is work. The universe is working. He said, it's as big as a grain of rice. Even a grain of rice, that is the universe. When I was San Francisco, this Gloria said the whole universe is in cup. So then master asked the monks asked the Zen masters, how can I understand the universe? So Zen master says, drink a cup of tea, and then you can see the whole universe in the cup. So students who listening to the Rukiroshi's lecture, now after his lecture, we had the discussion, and he asked Rukiroshi, how can I see the universe? And she said, you got your cup. Immediately that student looked at the inside of the cup and said, no universe in it. And immediately that student threw it away to the floor, dropped the cup. Because he said, poor tea. That is not look at, no. That is not pick up universe, okay? Pick up the great earth, you know, in the cup. But at that time, if you try to look at the universe in the cup, in the grain of rice, or with your fingers, already the end, the human doings created by you, subject and object, and the system of time process. But no matter how long you try to find the universe in that way, you cannot do it. And that, and finally, if you do this, you really kill the life of tea, the life of cup, because nothing to fear. So finally, you get disappointed. But look at your Zazen. Zazen is exactly look at, okay, pick up the universe simultaneously. But you always try to pick up the universe with the finger, with your eyes, okay, with your consciousness. That is pretty hard. Finally, you have to kill the life of Zazen, life of your breath, life of your life. Disappointed. That's why it is as big as a grain of rice. Whatever you say, okay, theologically speaking, or physiologically speaking, okay? Whatever you say, Buddha is in us. Okay? Buddha is us. Buddha, we are Buddha. Well, Buddha is us. Or flower is in God, in Buddha. Whatever you say, this is completely, well, do you understand? Whatever you say, this is nothing but the theology, nothing but the Buddhology. That's all. Don't you think so? So you create a poem. How beautiful, rose, oh, beautiful. Rose is not rose, rose is in Buddha. Rose is in God, whatever you say. Universe, whatever you say. This is nothing but the word. Finally, what is what? What is what? Rose, if you see the rose, yes, rose. Now rose is already rose, okay? In the dualistic world, you pick up with your consciousness, with your eyes, that rose. And then if you pick up rose in the dualistic world, next, you don't satisfy. That's why you have to systematize what you said, what you have experienced. How? Well, that is a study of Buddhism, study of Christianity, theology, Buddhology, etc. And then says, rose is in God. God is in rose. Finally, we say, we don't satisfy this statement either. So finally says, rose is God. God is rose. Still we don't satisfy. Can you say so? Finally, how can you say it? Finally, what you can say is, rose, oh, rose. All means completely beyond human speculation. Nothing to say, completely beyond theology, Buddhology, words, speculations, and finally, right after all, here is rose. That rose is completely something as it is, just there, blooming with the universe. I told you before, one of the poets composed a poem in Japan. When he visited the famous, the one of the outstanding sightseeing place, he said, that is Matsushima. Matsushima is in Japan. He said, Matsushima, or Matsushima, Matsushima, Matsushima. So, this is a pole, beautiful pole. You don't understand. Matsushima is first Matsushima. And next, oh, and next, Matsushima, Matsushima, Matsushima. That means the first Matsushima is, well, you do Matsima, Karagi, to destroy all, destroy the next. According to first Matsima, you can see the many Matsima, according to your eyes, according to your nose, according to your ears, according to your consciousness, many Matsima comes up. Okay? And then you don't know what is Matsima. Okay? So finally you start your frontal lobe start to work and try to analyze and synthesize, organize all things and try to find systematize. What is Matsushima? See, the eighth philosophy, psychology, biology itself. But finally you don't satisfy yet. Finally all you have to do is just standing, just be present in the Matsushima. Well, how can I explain? Just all. Well, right after experiencing us with all, but nothing to say. What is the beauty of Matsushima? Nothing to say. What is the beauty of a famous painting or famous sculptures, whatever it is? You cannot say. What is the beauty of a dance? What is the beauty of pianist music? You cannot say. So all you do, if you want to know the beauty of music, the piano and the orchestra anyway, listen. Just listen to it. Just listen. That's all. And then that listening is no explanation. But if you want to explain, well, when that music touches your heart, at that time some words come up. That is a word, simple word. Okay. Then after this experience of beautiful music, orchestra, at that time orchestra is completely different from orchestra you have experienced the first stage, okay, or Matsushima. Completely that is as it is, something as it is. Okay. Performing orchestras with the universe, not with the singers, not with the piano, not with the audience, anywhere with the universe. That time, that is completely beautiful orchestra. Matsushima, 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 that's all. this case says, it's as big as a grain of rice. Whatever it is, whatever you see, that is already yours. Throw it down before you. Throw it down before you. It's like a bucket. You don't understand. Throw it down before you means what to? Where is the universe? Universe with you, universe of grain of rice. Universe with is in Gashaw, okay? Universe is in Rose. Universe in Matsushima, dance, whatever. Okay? If it is true, even though you don't, universe is complete beyond human speculation, universe is with you. As long as it is with us, well, it is something you can experience. So, sooner or later, the universe touches your heart. At that time you say, yeah, I got it. I got it means already you threw it away before. Isn't it simple? Throw it away. I got it. But, what do you throw it away? What do you throw away? Something you have thrown away is just like a luck bucket. That luck bucket is a black luck bucket. You throw it away, black luck bucket at night, darkness. You don't listen. The moment when you throw it away, you exactly keep, you want to really keep it, okay? For instance, enlightenment, okay? Or feeling good in the Zen. So, you can experience it. So, if you experience something like this, you immediately happy. The happiness already flowed away before you. Okay? But then we usually hang on this because we don't want to go away. We don't want it to go away, so we try to keep it. But even though you, no matter how long you try to depend on, but something you have experienced, you have thrown away, is nothing but black color at midnight. So finally, it is. And what you have experienced is no longer the truth or universe itself. So that is something you have picked up through your consciousness. That's why finally you don't satisfy your experience. The next moment, this is enlightenment. This is our real right experience of Suza Zen. Shall I call enlightenment? Shall I call delusion? So, finally, we don't understand. We don't understand. So I will, the case says, I will beat the drum to call everyone to look. So Tipo says, if you don't understand, why don't you call everybody to look at hit, by hitting a drum? To hit the drum is a signal of collecting. Collecting the people to sit in the same room, okay, and listen to Buddha's teaching. So in order to have a lecture, before lecture we hit the drum. Okay, that is a signal of a lecture or Buddha's teaching start. So why don't you hit the drum and call everyone, okay, and to look for what the universe is. If you don't understand, okay? So why don't you ask everybody who has experienced? Well, that means not only the people. Why don't you ask, okay? Why don't you call everyone, everything, okay? Sciences, psychology, philosophy, and biology, and to look at the universe. Why don't you look at the universe? Modern scientists say, wow, wonderful. Buddhism is wonderful because Buddhism already said what the universe is. So scientists gradually understand the universe. So if you look at the universe through the sciences, maybe it's wonderful. So why don't you call everyone? Famous scientists, famous scholars, famous religious leaders, anyway, call everyone to look at the universe, okay? And listen to the universe, and you can listen. But even though you can, that speech and scientists and the philosophy, psychology touch your heart, what you're saying, what the universe is, but still, you don't satisfy. Finally, how can you do? You yourself have to touch the universe. That's all you have to do. Words given by scholars, religious leaders, Buddhas, well, words is not yours. Others' words. So, that's why this case says, I'll beat the drum to call everyone to look. This case is really explaining modern civilization. Okay? lots of terms. We can look at the universe. Okay? We can look at the truth. Okay? We are lucky in a sense because lots of chances. Okay? But I don't know if we are lucky or not. Okay? We have to be careful. Okay, this is a simple explanation of, but not explanation, but anyway, explanation. Main case, and Seppo is a Zen master who was one of the outstanding Zen teachers in China. In the commentary to this main case, here is a very interesting commentary. Seppo, teaching his assembly, said, pick up the whole great earth in your fingers and it's as big as a grain of light. This is a commentary to this statement. There was something extraordinary in the way this ancient guided people and benefited beings. He was indefatigably rigorous. Three times he climbed Mountain Tao Su, nine times he went to Sanshan, that means in ancient time, in China, anyway, all famous monks visited the teachers as many as possible. But those days, particularly in China, the practice of Zen was very tough, very tough. Well, if you read Zen training in China, not sometimes, very often, the many monks were killed by training of Zen. It was very tough. Nevertheless, Seppo Zen master anyway visited anyway three times, one teacher and the other teacher nine times. Those teachers were also outstanding Zen teachers. I don't think the training must be such a tough. You would have to be killed by training of Zen. But if you read, if you study Zen through the book, most people understand Zen, which is very tough. That's what one of the American, the American scholars says, Zen is too tough to practice for Americans. So I said, now how come? He said, Americans are very lazy. I don't think so. But anyway, if you study Zen through the book, particularly in China, it was very tough. But I don't think it's necessary to do this. But I don't think you should be lazy. Because anyway, from century after century, we shouldn't forget there is a basic human effort. That basic human effort is anyway to realize the universe, and also this universe must be alive in our daily life. Before you explain, before you distinguish, or before you are conscious of it. Anyway, universe must be alive. in order to get enlightened, from century after century, many people have made a great effort to practice the Zen and Zen teaching. So, we shouldn't be lazy, but we shouldn't be too tough. Okay? Anyway, but we should recognize how hard practice that Sekpo Zen must did. And wherever he went, he would set up his lacquer tube, lacquer tub, and wooden spoon, and serve as the rice steward, just for the sake of penetrating this matter. When he arrived at Tunshan, Tunshan is one of the Zen teachers, founder of Soto tradition in China. He served as the rice steward. One day, Tan Shan asked Sepo, "What are you doing?" Sepo said, "Cleaning rice." Shan asked, "Are you washing the grit to get rid of the rice? Or are you washing the rice to get rid of the grit?" Sepo said, "Grit and rice are both removed at once." Well, this is very good answer, because Sepo already knows what the universe is. So if even though Tozan and Chan says, "Are you washing the grit, okay, to get rid of the rice, or washing the rice to get rid of the lid?" And this is nothing but the word. So, in Sepo's heart, he said to Zen teachers, "Shut up." he didn't say so, but in his heart he said, "Shut up." That's why he said the box, grit and rice, box simultaneously removed. There is no words. But Todan, the master, also still not enough. So he said, Shan said, "What will everybody eat?" Well, because if you remove the box, grip and right simultaneously, what are you eating? So nothing. Then this Zen story. It's really fun. It's not fun, it's really touching the core, you know. It's really touching core. There is no room to explain why he did in that way, why he behaved in that way. There is no room. If you read anyway, immediately something happens, and the next moment happens, but there is no connection. But it's really touching your heart. But we don't know why. But that is great. Okay, great. And then that is, Shan said, "What will everybody eat?" Except for then, overturn the basin. Complete basin, the overturned basin. In the basin, there is a rice, okay? And with a grit, okay? And what will everybody eat? Immediately, Sekor amazing. It's completely shut up. Completely shut up. And then the children of the masters are also more than the temple. More than the temple. Great. This temple was great. But it's not good enough. So temple told them, said, your affinity lies with Kishan. So you are great monk, but I can't take care of you. Why don't you go to other teachers? Let's go. Named Kishan. Kishan was also more than tough. The great tougher, than Tozan and Sepo and any other monk. The teachers were really tough. So why don't you go there? So Tozan Denma was never surprised. And whatever Sepo did, oh, you're great. So you are not my student. I cannot take care of you. Well, there is another teacher who can take care of you. Why don't you go there? So he accepted. But actually Tozan didn't want him to go, but he said, and the Sepo accepted. That is well, you don't understand this. We are very honest. If somebody says, get out, but you are very straightforward, you say, thanks, I am growing up. But straightforward honesty is sometimes good, but it's not good for you. If someone says, get up, well, sometimes you have to get up, but sometimes not necessary to get up. In order to seek for the truth, you shouldn't get up. Wherever you may go, anyway, truth is there. So, and then as soon as he got there, Sepo asked, does this student have any share in this matter handed down from antiquity as the fundamental vehicle? This is what Sepo said. Now, after seeing that Kishan was very tough, okay? Sepo asked him, does this student have any share in this matter handed down from antiquity as a fundamental vehicle? That means, but does this kind of students, have defined or realized Buddha nature or not? In other words, can I have the capability to attain enlightenment, to realize enlightenment itself? So Tishan immediately struck him a blow and said, what are you saying? Then Mother Japan, also famous Zen teacher, Sawaki Roshi, was a great Zen teacher, who was completely different type of Zen teacher from other teachers. Okay. So he didn't have any temples, he didn't have any position, okay, but just called Zen master or whatever it is, completely he ignored. Then all he could do was to teach the Zen. Okay? As whenever he was asked by people, okay, Zen, the Zen, he always took a travel for all Japan, through all years. So, one of Buddhist lay old gentlemen, they had been practicing for many, many years under the guidance of this famous Zen teachers. And then finally he said, I was a very stupid person, and I have a lot of delusions. Even though I have been practicing for many, many years, still I have lots of delusions. Can I have a chance to attain enlightenment? Immediately then Jesus said, you are a coward.
Do you understand?
You are a coward. That word is very pithy, would you?
I think so.
Coward means, well, there is no discussion, shall I have, or shouldn't I, shall not I have, okay? Completely beyond, okay? You're cowardly, mere, big shock.
Well,
that's pretty good.
And still, he wasn't, he didn't attain enlightenment.
This is pretty good for us. So Seth was the same thing, saying, shall I have a chance to attain enlightenment or not? So Tishana says, what are you doing? What are you saying? And he hit. So that is, universe means, for the Tozan Zen master really cut off delusion of thinking right and great, okay, in the dualistic world. Right and great are the beings in the dualistic world, but practically you shouldn't handle the both of them in the dualistic world. You have to handle both of them in the universe. That means you have to handle both of them as a Buddha. So, great, great and great. Rice, great and rice. Rice is universe. Great is nothing but the universe. So there is no discrimination between the great and rice. If you say, I am watching the great to get rid of the rice, that time great is a little bit something inferior, something lower level of a being. So right is better than great. If you think I am watching the right to get out the great, well, there is a still inferior complex and superior complex. That is the evaluation. But you cannot handle it in that way. In order to universe arrive in your life, practically, you should handle both of them in equality as a good. So, if great appears, how can you handle great as a good? That's why when Sator overturned the basin, at that time great and right disappears. At that time, where is the duality? No duality. At that time, how can you exist? You cannot exist. That's why I told them there, says, what will everyone eat next morning? So, but Sepul really always staying in the highest level, okay? Highest level of spirituality, always oneness, okay? Oneness. If you are always in the highest level of oneness, you can cut down everything, okay? What is the great? What is the right? Okay, you can turn over, overturn completely the basin, throw away both of them. But it's really sharp and it's really attractive. But it doesn't work in the dualistic world, human being. So finally, anyway, you can't ignore the reality that there are many monks who need the rites, gift, who need a food? And also there are many beings, name, right, great, many beings, false. If you ignore this, how can we survive? So finally, we have to come down to the universe, no, to the human world, to take care of great and right in order to support human beings. Tomorrow I would like to learn the point of what do you have for question? If you study the Eastern or whatever religion, Bhagavad Gita and Upanishad, the Hinduism, even Buddhism. You could be impressed very much because they emphasize, well, oneness of the universe and the human world. The problem is, if you study the Eastern religions, okay, you cannot know what's the difference among the Hinduism and the Bhagavad Gita and the Upanishad and Buddhism, because almost they emphasize almost the same things. Different philosophy, Bhagavad Gita philosophy and Upanishad philosophy, it's all the same. That's why we don't realize what's the difference. But it's not necessary to point out what the difference is, but it's not necessary to know different among them. But an important point, even though you understand everything you're saying, the point is that truth must be not something you can understand in the consciousness. Truth is something alive, vividly, in your life, okay? In your life. Before the truth advances in thought, in consciousness anyway. That is pretty hard to understand. But in fact, even though I say so, well, everything, Bhagavad Gita, Upanishad, they always emphasize that. The point is, you yourself must be alive in the universe. Buddhism always emphasized that point, particularly Zen. Zen is very emphasized. So whatever you understand, yes or no, okay? Even though you answer, take an answer yes or no, okay, about the oneness of the universe, okay, my life is exactly one with the universe or not, then doesn't affect. Because constantly it must be alive. But tomorrow I will little bit explain about the human arrogance, okay? Arrogance is very delicate. It's very watching delicate. Whatever you think, whatever take answer yes or no, okay, this is nothing but the arrogance. You don't know exactly. For instance, if you say I experienced wonderful things through Zazen, at that time immediately it is nothing but to throw away the truth before you, but you don't understand. But if you throw away your experience of truth as your experience. And that's pretty hard to realize, to touch, to point your feet down what the arrogance is. In Buddhism, seven categories of arrogance. Well, anyway, Zen is constantly emphasizes actual practice which is vivified constantly. But on the other hand, we shouldn't ignore study of the truth philosophically, psychologically, or according to Bhagavad Gita, Upanishad, etc. That's okay. Because everything is interconnected. So we shouldn't ignore. There is no reason we should ignore anything. So it's okay. If you want to poke ahead into anything, fine, beautiful. But final approach is very simple. Very simple practice. In order to be stable there, it's very hard. It takes time. It really takes time. For instance, Zazen is very practical. It's very simple practice. Very simple practice. But intellectually, this Zazen must be backed by philosophy, Buddhist philosophy, psychology. But practically, Zazen is very simple, which is urgent. We have to do complete beyond like or dislike. This is Zazen, meaning of Zazen. Because this is perfect stability, or peace, or harmony, etc. We don't understand. We cannot stand up there because it's too simple. Too simple. It will not talk. It's very simple. But look at your within. Can you be alive fully in the world that you do now? Even the moment, you are not alive. You are sort of a dead in the world of something. That is a simple, simple world. Nothing to do. Don't think. It's not necessary to think with the body and mind. Why don't you sit down? Within this, even within this simple world, we cannot be alive. We are just dead. Well, that's why constantly we have to do this. Even though you are yawn, or you feel boredom, even though you sleep constantly, or even though you hate, as long as you're a human being, a human being must be alive in the universe. Because by the universe you are anyway survived. You should be appreciated. Appreciating is not to think something philosophically. Anyway, appreciation is something you have to do with in the universe anyway. So world. If you do that, then this is your whole world, the universe. So this is the event, is your life. Exactly. As long as you do that, then this is you. Don't you think so? So your consciousness always compares. Before that and after that, and always compares. I got up this morning and I will go to sleep at night, always thinking of something. But this is not your whole world. This is the image of your life. You always create image of life. Get up in the morning. Now I am doing. Next moment I could attain enlightenment. Next moment maybe I want to go to sleep. Genius. All life is really image. Nothing but the image. So, image is beautiful, sometimes helpful for you very much. But the image is image. Image, in order to make the image alive, anyway, you should know. How can you make image of life alive right now or here, in that moment of it? So practically your focus must be right on, any moment. But your image really extends, okay? Through the past, the present, future. Okay? That's fine. Without this, you cannot exist. But practice, your focus must be right on. That time, that right on is very realized. That is your whole life. That's why, just sit down. If I give you something else, except your body and mind, taking care of your breath, that is something extra. Whatever it is, spiritually or materialistically, or whatever it is, if you bring in, that is extra. All you have to do is, with your body and mind, just be present and just be alive. That you is not you. That is what is called universe. And then you feel something. If you do that, then like this, you feel something because already you touch it. That's when you feel. If you feel immediately, you throw it away before you are correct. That is already something else. You don't know. So constant to all your tonight. Just be alive. It's a very simple practice. But this simplicity must be backed by philosophical, psychological understanding. This is the study of wisdom. Okay. What one by one we should study. But practically, even though you don't understand Buddhism, never mind. Okay. If you don't like psychology or Buddhist psychology or Abhidharma culture, don't mind. Okay. Forget it. But still, there is an important thing you have to do. You say, anyway, life is your life, that's not right here, with clear mind, looking your life. Broad vision, broad perspective. Never let your life, right now, right here, shouldn't be tossed away by these images. Anyway, your effort must be focused on right now, right here. That time, it's very extending. Extending to past, present, future. Big natural. You grow. You develop, you deepen yourself. But this practice is very hard. But whatever you do, this is not only the thing. Whatever you do, this is the basic human practice. As a dancer, as a painter, as a musician, anyway, if you take away all things, all stuff, okay, problem comes, success and failure, and criticism and all things. Why don't you first? Why don't you take away all things? Okay? Find and put next. That's it. If you want to be as a magician, put next. All you have to do is just a practice. The more you're famous, the more you realize how important practice is from day to day. That is the very basic practice. But we are always, well, wobbling money, wobbling or tossed away by pros and cons, while failure and success you have experienced after your doing, after your practice, always, okay? And then completely you lose the sight of yourself. But this is not real life as a magician, as a dancer, as a painter, whatever. Basically, what should you do? It happens after taking away all those stuff, okay? Complications. Finally, what happens? Very simple practice. Just continue to practice. Just sit down. Just sit down in front of the piano and play. Just to play. Regardless of whether you become so famous or not. Anyway, shut up. Anyway, shut up. Keep your mouth shut and do your best with your sincerity, with your true heart. That is the very basic practice. Southern teaches me that way. I always tell you this point, but still it's pretty hard to touch, pin down what it is. But we have to do constantly.